This is Market to Market producer Colleen Bradford Krantz. Stand by for the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
This is the Friday, December 3, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Fund liquidation and higher world production impacted the wheat market, and for the week, the nearby wheat contract fell 37 cents, while March corn lost 8 cents. The bearish outside economic news, coupled with China's "are they done buying or not" story, impacted the soy complex. The January soybean contract added 15 cents. January meal improved 9.20. March cotton shrank by 7.58, or nearly 7% per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, January Class 3 milk futures added 12 cents. A mixed week in the livestock sector as February cattle shed 225. January feeders declined 302. And the February lean hog contract expanded by 47 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index improved one tick. January crude oil decreased 232 per barrel. COMEX gold dropped 360 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs commodity index lost almost 6 points to finish at 536.25. Joining us now to provide some insight is Mark Gold. Mark, it is so good to see you.
It's nice to be here in person for a change.
You know, you guys, your generation, all you want to do is be on your screens all the time.
No, I'd much rather be out here than sitting at the screen in Chicago, believe me.
Well, the trip out, harvest is pretty much done. Yeah. But start looking at the conditions of the ground. Maybe not so much here in corn country. Let's go to wheat country. Yeah. It is starting to remain dry in a lot of areas.
Yes.
Terrible export news. It's dry. What's the third strike on wheat?
Well, one would think that if Russia moves in to Ukraine, that's going to be an issue. Now, what can the issue be? Are they going to stop exports? So that could actually boost prices. That may be a ramification. What's going to be bearish out there was if we do get rains in the plains. That'll put an end to this in a hurry. You know, wheat has gone into dormancy. We have very little snow cover. I think somebody said 8% of the country has got snow cover. It's interesting. Denver hasn't had one snow yet this year, yet Hawaii just got a blizzard warning for a foot of snow and 100-mile-an-hour winds. Now, that's on the slopes of one of the two volcanoes on the Big Island of Hawaii. But still, it's pretty weird weather we're having out here.
Well, Denver didn't know they were participating in No Snow November, but here they are.
Yeah.
It's dry in central Montana, wildfires ripping through areas. Canada still dry.
Yeah.
So I guess I ask, is it more going to be a weather story or an export demand story that pulls moving in the next 2 to 3 months?
That's a good question. I view the exports as being very, very dicey. We've got the dollar at 96 cents. I think the last time we were here, we were saying if the dollar got over 92 cents, that would be pretty bearish for all the grains. Now we're up to 96 cents, and it's just making it that much more difficult to capture any of this outside export market. Despite what's happening in Russia with all the taxes, they're still on wheat that we're not. So I think that's an issue. But on the other hand, if we see this whole winter go through with very little snow cover and we get some cold temps and we do some damage out here, it's going to be a problem. But I think we have to keep in mind American farmers, when they look at a wheat crop and it's been dry and it's been cold, you know, that plant is dead. And, you know, 3 months later, they get a little rain and, oh, geez, we're going to have a pretty good crop. So it's hard to get too bullish based on the conditions today, knowing that wheat is a weed, and just give it some water at some point and we'll get a crop.
We've had a pretty good crop of corn.
You know, look at how bad the weather was this year. You know, we used to joke that we'll be able to grow corn on concrete someday. Well,
we're getting close.
We're getting pretty close. And I think that what it's pointing out is both in beans and corn, you just give the crop enough rain at the right time, and you're going to make a crop. And in this year's case, record crops. What are we going to do if in 2022 we have good weather? What are these yields going to do? Are we going to go to 60 bushel beans? Are we going to go to 180 bushel corn? You know, looking at what they did in a poor year and knowing what yields came in where they had some rains tells you that there could be huge crops out there.
Well, let's ask Phil in Ontario's question. He's got a question about corn and about pricing some things forward. Looking at December 22, corn is approximately $5.52. Yeah. Historically, he says this is a good time to price new crop corn. Does that still hold for 2022, given what you're just saying?
It's going to take one heck of a bullish weather scenario in South America, in my opinion, to push March corn at much over $6. Is this a good time? You've got 550 new crop wheat, new crop corn. How many times in the history of the last 40 years have you been able to do that once you've come out of the field? So to me, it's a great marketing opportunity. As a marketer, if we're telling clients to sell corn out here, which we have, we're also telling them to replace it with some call options to keep the upside open. And then they have some puts on for what they're not selling. But at 550 corn, we know we can go right back to $4 in a hurry if things pan out. And to leave that price on the table, to me, is foolhardy, in my opinion.
Well, let's look at last week. We recorded on Tuesday. Yeah. Wednesday was kind of unstable. We came back from Thanksgiving. It's like the market got indigestion. It ate something poorly. Friday dropped off the table, continued on to Monday. Tuesday looked terrible. And then all of a sudden we come back.
Come back again. It's been that kind of a market. But we've had a lot of bullishness based on all this inflation talk. And now when you look at crude oil going from 73 to $60 a barrel, when you look at silver from going to 25 to 22 an ounce, when you look at some of these other markets out here, Bitcoin from 69,000 to 55,000, I'm not sure that inflation bug is still here. And yeah, we know land is expensive. We know fertilizer is expensive. But I believe a lot of these things are going to come down. And I'm not bullish based on inflation.
Okay, I want to get into a deeper discussion on crude with you about inflation, but I want to ask a quick question then about crude oil. And if it does continue to fall, I think a couple of weeks ago you wrote that might be why we've had inflation is a higher crude. Yeah. We've let out the steam of that. Natural gas off 25%. What's the ethanol producer thinking right now when it sees those two headlines?
Well, I think he's got to be a little concerned. The cheaper gas gets, the less demand we're going to see for ethanol. You know, longer term in ethanol, I'd be more worried about electric cars than I would be anything else. We've got to find some replacements 3, 5, 10 years down the road because there's going to be an impact. But the fact of the matter is if crude continues on this downward slope and we get back to $50, $40 a barrel, I believe that crude oil, as much as anything, has been the driving force behind inflation. Yes, cars are more expensive. Rent is more expensive. Fertilizer, as we talked about, and all these other things are more expensive, but I think they're about to start coming down.
Are the Chinese done buying U.S. beans for the near
Probably
term?
Probably not. If we get down to 1180, the Chinese will be back. The Chinese are as good at traders as anybody in the world. They need grain. There's no question about it. But where are they going to get it from? We've seen them already buy Brazilian beans now. This is the time where the U.S. should be making those sales to them. So it tells us that with the dollar at 96 cents and bean prices at $12.50, we're not that competitive. So what's going to happen when this window of exports generally closes sometime after the first of the year? Maybe they're going to buy some more, but they better do it in the next 4 weeks, or we're going to lose this window of opportunity from harvest in September through the end of the year.
So then, okay, say the window closes.
Yeah.
And they're done writing checks to the United States.
Yeah.
Do we have enough demand in this country to chew through some stockpiles here that we have domestically?
I don't think so. But, you know, you look at the crush number, it was 197 million, a new record. So we're crushing an awful lot of beans out here. Livestock, the meal prices have been really high. But I just don't see that these bean prices can sustain themselves without those Chinese purchases. We already know we're down, you know, 8-10%. Some people are saying it's going to be 20% before it's all over. That's a lot of beans that normally get chewed up by the Chinese that are going to be in our market with the American farmers still holding on to a lot of grain. I think that's an issue.
Well, let's look at the hog market when it in term to meal. We've seen that's been the only one going up the last couple of weeks has been the hog market.
Yeah.
Is it because why?
Well, I think it's been a function of they got a little too cheap. And with cattle prices moving as high as they did, you know, pork became attractive again. So I think that's been as much of the input on hog prices as anything else. But overall, The cattle's had one heck of a run here over the last several weeks. We pushed December cattle to 140. We backed off a little bit, kind of backstepped a little bit. But we're still looking at a very strong cash market, and I continue to believe that's going to stay around for a while here, maybe through the end of the year, and then maybe back off again. But in the meantime, hog prices looks relatively cheap to cattle, so I think that market will continue to be on the firm footing out here.
So cash is impacting hogs. It's also impacting beef, right? You were saying,
sure.
Make sure I got that right. So do you see the cash business being better for another month or two?
In the cattle market, for sure. And the hogs will probably tag along for that ride.
All right. So cattle, what else do you see as factors? We hear about labor unrest at a couple of plants that might slow down. And we know if one plant goes down or slows down, that's had a major chain reaction.
But we've seen some of the smaller plants pick up some of that slack. Guys want to get back to work. I'm convinced of that. I think that's why these slaughter numbers have come back up. A week ago, we were at 667, I think it was. That's telling me that these plants are operating at a pretty full capacity out here.
You adding to your feeder pen right now?
Not at these levels.
Because?
They're just too high priced.
The meat?
The meat is too
high. What about the inputs?
Corn, every time the corn rallies, the feeders break, it seems like. Pretty much corn goes up, feeders go. Corn goes up, feeders go down. Corn goes down, feeders go up. And that relationship's going to be around forever, I think. But I look at these prices on the feeder cattle, and I think, gee, the awful high prices to be putting more in the pens right now. But the demand has been good. We're still eating a lot of beef. Restaurant trade is picking up. So I think that's all positive.
Is the weather, back to the wheat discussion, have any impact on some of these larger feedlots in areas where it's dry?
Certainly you can't get into the pasture areas if it's that dry and they have to substitute something else. Is it going to be corn? Is it going to be meal? Yeah, some of that will pick up. But if it does continue to get dry and stay dry, let's say through January and February, then we're going to see some shifts in feed usage on corn and wheat could go higher, without a doubt.
All right. Mark Gold, thank you so very much for the
time.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
All right. That'll do it for the TV show that we do call Market to Market. We're going to keep talking. We're going to record it. We'll call it Market Plus and join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. Now, subscribers to our YouTube channel, they already know that they are the first to get our content from full shows, the MTOM podcast, and Market Plus. Subscribe today and ring that bell in the corner to get notifications and be in the Insider Club. Next week, we take a look at what one couple discovered about the realities moving from the city to the countryside. Thank you for watching. Have a great week.